Well, I'm now joined by Laura Coyle from the St. Francis Hospice, and she's brought a whole load of people here today. And they include Claire Edwards and Bridget Moss. Is that right?
That's it.
I couldn't read my own writing, you see. It's terrible. It's terrible when everything goes. Now, I believe that Laura has said that she's really only coming here to keep everybody else under control. But
that's
we're making certain that she's going to actually do something. And Laura, I think the first thing you should do is explain exactly what the week Dying Matters week is all about. Because that's next week, yes?
It's this week.
Oh, this week.
It starts today.
Oh,
yes, 14th of May already,
oh.
I know.
See?
Starts today.
Well, can we get you a little bit closer into that microphone?
A little bit closer, sorry.
That's better. That's
is that
better?
Better?
Yeah, a lot better.
Yes,
yeah.
So Dying Matters Week starts this week. It's
right.
An annual week that basically tries to encourage people to talk about dying.
Mm.
We all die. It's
yes.
A fact of life. Life and death. And having the conversation with the people that you love about what you would like to happen should you lose full capacity or towards the end of your days is so, so important. But it's something that people find really tricky. So Dying Matters Week encourages people to have those conversations and talk about the different things that they might like to happen when their time comes.
Right.
So we are working in partnership, the hospice working in partnership with BHR, so Queen's and King George Hospitals, to encourage people to advance care plan.
Right.
So the theme for us is, or the focus for us is very much around advanced care planning.
Right.
So have you planned? Have the conversation.
Yes.
Have you planned?
How many of us have actually planned?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But of course, planning doesn't actually make it happen. But you do have to plan at some point.
You really do. And there's so many different ways. And we've been talking about this off air, about the different things that can happen nowadays.
Yep.
The way that funerals and burials can happen.
Yep.
Some people like traditional, some people like more quirky, which, you know, you've given us a fantastic example, which you have to share with us.
I will share with you. I will share with you. Do you want me to do it now or do you want me to do it a bit later?
Go on, because otherwise it will get lost.
All right, okay. Well basically, one of the guys that used to be a presenter here, he now does quite a lot of things for memorial services and funerals, and he was asked last week to conduct a funeral up in Chelmsford dressed as a character out of Star Wars. He turned up dressed as Obi-Wan, as it happens. Quite an amazing thing, but it just shows you that a lot of people they don't sort of get all worried and worked
That's
up in
right.
all the emotion of the thing. They want to have a bit of fun. Mm.
It needs to be relevant to you.
Yep.
So you know people, know what kind of things they're into. Obviously, this chap was into Star Wars. But having those conversations about what you would like.
Yes.
You know, we've heard very much at the hospice that some people choose not to even have funerals nowadays, which was news to me.
Really?
Yeah. They choose not to have funerals. They would rather do something, a memorial service.
Right.
But the burial, the cremation, whatever happens, isn't a public thing that people would go to now.
Uh-huh.
So things are changing, but I think a lot of people aren't aware of the options out there, but also of actually having that conversation. So we're working together to make sure that people understand the importance of having what can be a difficult conversation, but is an inevitable conversation that really should be had.
Yeah, okay. And that also includes health, the care as well.
Yes, it does. I mean, I think what's important to add to what Laura was talking about was
really... This is Bridget,
yes, this is Bridget, actually, yes. From the hospice. Is to actually think it's not just about funerals, it's actually also about the care that somebody...
Right.
Needs at the end of their life. So as Laura mentioned, it's about actually advanced care planning. So you're thinking about your own care or somebody within your family before they need it.
Right.
So you're doing it in advance of them needing it. Often these conversations can be really tough to have right at the very end. And if we know what people want, we know what their preferences are, we know what their choices are around their care, and if we know that in advance, it's so much easier to make sure that it actually happens.
What sort of things do people ask for?
It can be something really simple and mm-hmm. really straightforward. For example, I only like to listen to a certain radio station. Make sure that you only play that and not another.
Yes.
You know, make sure I love classical music, don't play me rock.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of thing. It can be something really simple. That said, it can actually also be very specific about somebody's care. So it can be about whether or not they'd like to be artificially fed, right. whether or not they'd actually like to have fluids intravenously. So that's actually into a vein.
Right.
It's all of those kinds of things, but it is really about actually making sure that we're having those conversations.
But if they didn't want to have the mm-hmm. the intravenous feeding or whatever, when they get to a certain point, they do actually have to be fed, don't they, one way or another?
It doesn't have to be. No,
really?
It doesn't have to be. If somebody's made a choice and they've made a decision about that in advance,
right.
then they can actually make a decision to refuse certain parts of treatment.
Really?
Yes. But what's really important, just pulling away from that a little bit, is uh-huh. actually just to have the conversation.
Right.
What that is the most important thing. We find in a lot of our work that we're working alongside families, patients and families, and those conversations haven't taken place. They're difficult to have. They are difficult conversations to have.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And our sort of instinct is to not have them, is to shy away from it, because it is difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's really important
okay.
because we can often care for people, and right up to their final days, you may have people within the family or who surround them, and they say, I don't know what they want.
Mm. Claire, can we bring
yes.
you in here?
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Now, you've just literally flown in from Ireland. So
I have,
been
yes.
thrown in the deep end.
Yes, my Northern Ireland accent. Very difficult to understand.
It's not difficult to understand at all. It's very good.
Okay. So at BHRUT, we work alongside the hospice, and we're doing the same theme for Dying Matters as the whole nationally, the country is.
Right.
About what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
So it's about what can you do for yourself, for a neighbour.
Uh-huh.
It can be volunteering at the hospice, at the hospital. It's about what can you do to live well and to plan a good death.
Mm-hmm.
So that really is the theme overall of everything. So there are legal documents that people can do. There are documents that people can write down. We do a document called Thinking Ahead
mm-hmm.
in BHR, which really is just about people saying, this is what's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had patients say, my cat is the most important thing to me, and actually I want to see my cat.
Mm-hmm.
And we have snuck the cat into the hospital up the back stairs.
Right.
You know, it's about listening to people as individuals and finding out what they want and what's important to them. I think the barrier sometimes is that the patient doesn't want to upset the family
uh-huh.
and the family don't want to upset the patient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this collusion starts where we can't talk about it because it will happen. Well, just because you talk about it, it doesn't make it happen.
Sure.
What it does make happen is that people get what they want and they can then be open and honest.
Now, you've talked about documents. Are these
yes.
legal? Are they legally binding? Do they have to be done through a solicitor?
There is only... there are two documents that are legally binding. One is an advanced decision to refuse treatment, which Bridget has mentioned. So that is about artificial hydration and nutrition. It's about resuscitation and ventilation.
Mm-hmm.
So all these documents you do when you've got capacity.
Of course.
So you're of sound mind.
Mm.
And they only come into effect when you no longer have capacity.
Right.
So if you changed your mind, you can change your mind 100 times. It doesn't matter, as long as we're doing what you want.
Right. Okay.
And you have capacity to change your mind. So these documents can be done in the hospice. They can be done in BHRUT. It doesn't have to be a solicitor.
Right.
It can just be a document that's countersigned by a health professional to say that you've got the capacity to make these decisions. The one that you do have to go to a solicitor for is the power of attorney.
Right. Okay.
Actually, we've got a joint stand this morning at Queen's.
Right.
Between us, we've had quite a lot of interest
yes.
and quite a lot of questions, and one gentleman had said that he really is on his own. He has no family.
Uh-huh.
He has nobody, and it was like he had a light bulb moment.
Yes.
And he said, are you telling me that if anything happens to me, everything's gone and nobody knows what I want?
Mm.
And we said yes.
Mm.
So we took some documents with him. He was very interested, and we've had lots of really good conversations about power of attorney for health and wealth. It can be one or the other.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think the cost is probably about £600 or £700 through the solicitor.
Right, right.
But I think it's cheap for peace of mind.
Right. Now, you just mentioned this event that you've had today, but I think you've got a load of events, have you not, coming up?
We've got lots, yes. We've got a joint stand in Queens, Monday, Wednesday and Friday, and in King George's on Tuesday and Thursday.
Right.
We actually have the Mayor of Redbridge coming to stay with us tomorrow to show support and to help people to talk and somebody to come to the stand. And I know the hospice are doing some advanced care planning workshops.
Yeah,
would you like to say something about that, Laura?
Yeah, we've got, for healthcare professionals,
yes.
We're actually running two afternoon sessions on the 16th and 17th, Wednesday and Thursday this week.
Right.
At St Francis Hospice in our education centre in Pemberton Place, not in the education centre, to talk about...
You're supposed to know.
I am supposed to know, I know. Slap my wrists. This is why I said I wasn't going to talk.
Yeah.
So they are... Yeah. The space is still available for anyone that works within the healthcare sector to understand more about advanced care planning. We also have representatives from the hospice in some of our stores. So the Romford store in South Street today. We have a team of people there, and tomorrow at the Ilford store... We actually have produced a leaflet in partnership as well that is around advanced care planning. It's available from all of these places where we'll have a physical presence this week.
Right.
Also on our website and on the BHR website. So there is on the news page on the SFH website, sfh.org.uk, there is a Dying Matter story, and I know that there is the same on the BHR website as well.
Right.
So all the information is there for people, but we just want to make sure we're encouraging people to have those conversations.
Yeah. What does BHR stand for? Sorry.
Barking Hearing Redbridge University Trust.
There you are.
Just as well I knew that, isn't it?
Now, I think you've also got some sort of event taking at Tesco and Rodeo Corner.
Yes, right? So we'll also have some of the team from the fundraising team at the hospice will actually be there. They're out and about in the community all the time anyway.
Uh-huh.
So they're actually going to be at Tesco Rodeo Corner on Wednesday as well. So also you can pick up a leaflet there too.
Good stuff. All right. Well, thanks very much indeed for that. Any other points you want to make there that we haven't covered?
I'd like to give you a very good example of where advanced care planning is really important.
Right. Yeah, go.
So a few months ago, I met a lady who was in hospital. She wasn't dying. We were planning on getting her home, and she asked to talk to me because I'd met her before, a few months before. And we had sort of a jolly up conversation, but she said, "I don't want to do any of your rubbish, so go away, please." And then she asked to see me. Yeah, so when I went up to see her, she then proceeded to tell me that she felt that she needed to tell somebody what she wanted because nobody else would know.
Yeah.
So she told me where she wanted her clothes to go, what she wanted done with her garden set, where her car was to go. She wanted an American casket, which had to be black. All sorts of details. And I sort of foo-fooed her and said, "You know, you don't really need to tell me all this. You need to tell your family." And she said, "No, no, I'm telling you." And I said, "Would you like me to write it down?" And she said, "No, don't bother." So I went home, come back to work the next day. And this lady actually had taken quite a turn in the night and was very unwell and was dying.
Right.
And her daughter was there. And actually, she told her daughter nothing. So I went up to see her and told her daughter everything that she had told me the day before. And her daughter said to me, "Mum knew she wasn't going to be here today, and that is why she told you yesterday." So she got everything she wanted. Her daughter felt comforted and supported by knowing what her mum wanted. And I had actually made notes on what she wanted. So that was an amazing scenario for a family to get support and a patient to know that they got what they wanted.
But when she was actually saying about what she wanted to do with some of her belongings, shouldn't that all have been included in her will?
She should have done a will, but she didn't have one.
Oh.
Actually, an awful lot of people don't have wills.
So that leads me quite nicely, just to give you a little heads up out there, that we're actually... we have Make a Will Fortnight between the 11th and 22nd of June.
Yep.
We work with local solicitors who will write a will for you in return for a donation to the hospice.
All right.
So it falls quite nicely with Dying Matters. Mm. So obviously we encourage people to have those conversations and talk now. Yeah. And then we have Make a Will Fortnight from the 11th to the 22nd of June. So, you know, if people don't have a will, and, you know, Claire's example is a perfect one as to why you should have one.
Oh. Absolutely.
That's there as well as an opportunity. Again, information on our website there too.
Okay, thanks very much indeed. I would stress, it is so important to make a will. You get all sorts of problems if you don't. Thanks very much indeed,
ladies.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Thank you.